All right, you guys, welcome to week two of the Temple of Hoop podcast. I'm your host, Jason Maples, aka J Mapes, Coach Maples, whatever you want to call it, here again with the substitute teacher filling in, my boy Jordan Latz of Tap Room Sports. Jordan, what's going on, my guy? Thank you again for being a long term sub. What's going on, my boy?
Doing good, man. I'm doing good. Thank you for having me once again. Last week was a lot of fun, so I'm hoping to carry it over this week. But before we get started, man, I gotta say happy birthday, bro.
Yes, the birthday was Saturday. Had a fun weekend. The Comets went 2-1. Just so y'all know, they did not follow my rule, the foul up three rule. They hit a three, took us in the OT. We lost in OT. So you know, that stung a little bit, but we did finish 2-1. One
good.
third place game on my birthday, so we're solid. We're 2-1. Play again, not this weekend, but next weekend, about 11 days. So looking forward to get back to it.
Are you guys still in exhibition, or are you guys actually in regular season?
Now, I guess now it's this games count, but it's preseason. No more exhibition. We have one exhibition game, but these are real games now. But we just
so
leagues.
You guys legitimately start before D1 basketball.
Yeah, the league starts. League starts late December, so
that's great.
Yeah. Before we get started, obviously, guys, you know, from last week, Jordan is big into the gambling aspect of sports analyzing. I just want to ask you, Jordan, anything jumping at you this past week from the NBA, from a gambling perspective, before we hop into the topics here?
Oh, man. I mean, the Toronto Raptors just continue to hit against the spread. They're 8-2 against the spread on the season.
Wow.
The Celtics, very underwhelming against the spread. They're 4-5 against the spread. The Milwaukee Bucks, 8-1 against the spread, and a whopping 9-0 in the first quarter. So if you're taking the Bucks in the first quarter, you've won every single game you have not lost yet. We're going to talk about the Bucks a little bit later, but you know, obviously these numbers are going to meddle themselves out eventually. The Cleveland Cavaliers, 8-1 against the spread as well. So we're seeing a lot of teams, you know, jump out here, and I know a couple of them we're going to talk about, so I don't want to get too deep into it, but we're still seeing overs hit at an incredible rate. We're still hitting over 56% on overs. We are seeing the books adjust, though. They are bumping those totals up. Like, you know, last year you would see most Raptors games, it would be in the 215 to 217, 218 area. We're seeing those jump up to like 222 now, which is pretty incredible, man. So we are seeing some adjustments here. And, you know, this is a time where, honestly, if you follow basketball and you know the sport, you know the league in and out, this is the time to win money is early on. Because once the numbers come out and the data starts to come out,
they'll adjust all the – yeah, okay.
The books start to adjust, and that's when it becomes a lot more difficult to really get an edge.
Y'all hear that? That is free game. This is a free podcast. And look at all that game you just got. People charge on Patreon for that information you just got. So shout out, Jordan, man.
Appreciate you.
Jordan is a Bucks fan, so let's just start there. The Bucks, the last remaining undefeated team in the NBA. Obviously buoyed by who I would say is the best player in the world, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I got to say, from what I watched, as I'm watching this guy, I already think he's the best player in the world. Is he getting better? Like, Milwaukee's 9-0. He's averaging 32, 12-6 on 56% shooting. The defense remains outstanding. And I think the crazy thing about the Bucks, they're ramrodding teams.
Yeah.
Top net, second net rating. We're talking about the team that's first in a minute. Second in net rating. There are three teams with net ratings above 10. Net rating above 10 just means you are absolutely destroying teams. It's just not competitive most of the time. Cavs, Bucks, Suns have been dominant. Just what do you see from Giannis in general? This is more impressive. There's no Middleton there.
Yep.
Even Drew's missed a few games as well, which makes the dominance even more impressive. So speak to what you see from Giannis and the Bucks as a whole. I remember I wanted to talk to you. You had some very good things to say about Coach Bud and his flexibility, new flexibility. So go into that as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's crazy because last year, like, I don't know if it was a title hangover per se, but like I think they knew, okay, we know what we need to do to win a title.
Right.
Like, they like coasted through like the first half of the year. Like, they really didn't play defense until like the second half. March is really when they started playing defense. And now we're seeing a little bit more urgency from them, you know. And I think not having Middleton, not having Joe Ingles, not having Pat Connaughton, you know, I think Budenholzer in general, I think he said, like, okay, well, for us to make up for those deficiencies, we're gonna have to play elite defense to win ball games. And not only that, we're gonna have to offensive rebound. And that's where we're seeing like two big things for both the Bucks, dude. They've improved their offensive rebounding tremendously. And let's not forget, Brook Lopez missed all of last year, basically,
He's
right?
been huge this year.
He has. He leads the league in blocks per game.
Yeah, he's been huge this year.
And he is, it's crazy because like over the summer, I was one, I'm not, I'll admit it, dude. I was one of those guys that was in the wagon of like, hey, let's trade Brook Lopez and like let's get younger at the center position. But he's proven me wrong so far. But I mean, this is a marathon, it's not a race, right? And there is a lot left in the season. And I don't expect Brook Lopez to play it averaging 3.3 blocks per game for the rest of the year. Like I know that's unsustainable, right? But for him to be that anchor, and he might get 3.3 blocks per game, but imagine how many shots he's altering per game on top of,
Exactly,
right, on
exactly.
the rim. Because they have the best rim protection. They have the best rim defensive percentage in the league right now. Number one
I'd
in.
imagine between him and Giannis, it's tough to score inside on them.
And yeah, it's insane, right? And
Yeah.
they faced the second best team in rim protection, which was the Timberwolves. And just, I mean, they flat out dominated them, right?
Right.
I mean, well, let's be honest. They shot like 50% from three, which hadn't done all season, but
That'll do it, though.
it will. It will. But right now for the Bucks, I think that, you know, 9-0 is incredible. I didn't see them being here. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it, but they have played a very easy schedule so far, like two against the Pistons. They played a lot of bad teams. But I mean, you have to beat those teams, right? And that's what they didn't do last year. Last year they were losing to these teams and they would show up against like the Nets of the world, the Bulls of the world. They would show up against good teams.
I'll say this. I think the Warriors had a pretty good blueprint for last year. They came out and established themselves, were very dominant early. Then, like a 10-0 start or something like that, where they set the tone for the entire season. And they had a gap to rest guys if need be, try experiment with different lineups. And I think that's definitely something that getting out to a great start, affords you, opposed to starting out slow and having to fight uphill all season. So I think there might be a method to kind of what they're doing, setting the tone early.
That's a great point. And they rested Giannis on Saturday night against the
Yes,
Thunder,
yeah,
you know, and they won, surprisingly. And the Thunder are a good up and coming team. I don't know if you've watched them this year, but I mean they work hard. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is, I mean, if the season were to be the middle of the year right now, he'd be an all-star. I know it's only nine games in, but
right.
he'd be an all-star for sure. But yeah, I mean, I love what I see from the Bucks. It's crazy because honestly, if you look at Giannis's last four games, Jason, he hasn't been that good. He's kind of been like down to his standards, but we've set such a high standard for Giannis that that's how good he is. I mean, he had a 28-point triple double on Friday and he shot like 40% from the floor, you know, and he shot under 50% from the free throw line.
I mean, we can say that. So even with that four game stretch, he's at 33, 13, and 6 on 56% shooting.
And that is not his best games by far. He's a much better player than those games that he's had.
Well, I think defensively, that's been there. So I think, but you're right though. I mean, you that's your team, so I get it. You have a set a high standard for them. As he's going to add that, it's scary because that team's going to add Ingles, going to add Middleton. So the depth is coming. I wasn't down on them, but I worried for them in a series against Boston because the athleticism was just so much lagging. So we'll see how that goes.
Chase, have you seen Marshawn Beauchamp play?
Yeah, I was like, if he's in a rotation, that definitely changes teams. Rookies are always iffy in the playoffs, but that is a fair rebuttal. But yeah, and also I think the Brook issue was huge as well. So, that having him completely upright and healthy will definitely make a difference, and we will definitely see how that
In the
progresses
playoffs,
going.
we see Brook get played off the floor quite often because
Right.
it's a little bit different of a game. But during the course of a season, 82-game season, I think his importance is there. Plus, he's a strong veteran, right?
Right, you need those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see, man. But I think it's like if there was the MVP vote today, it would be unanimous for Giannis, in my opinion. He
Yeah.
actually might be in the hunt for MVP and Defensive Player of the Year in this, like both of them right now, the way he's playing.
Agreed.
Yeah, he's tracking on like a very historical pace. I know that last year after he won the championship, there were only four guys to do what he did, two other guys to do what he did in the span like that, win Defensive Player of the Year, MVP, and Finals MVP in a 4-year span. It was Hakeem Olajuwon and Michael Jordan.
Yep.
That was the only two players to ever do that in a 4-year span.
And he
So,
took the best team, in my opinion, in the Celtics, to 7 games without his second best player, which was incredible to me, dude. The fact that he was able to do that was absolutely insane. And a lot of people will say, well, the Warriors were probably the best team. I don't necessarily agree because statistically, data-wise, I think that Boston was a better team. If Boston had a point guard with a pulse, they would have beat the Warriors.
well, I mean, that's why there's the data, then there's what happened. So I get what you're saying. I think was I have never seen I did not agree with the defense on Steph Curry. You can't play him in a drop. I don't care what your stats say.
That was
He
bad.
he's a
That
data
was
he's a data breaker. You can't play him in a drop. He's just gonna kill you. He's not a normal human being. So I don't know, that was mind-boggling to me. That's the only thing. And about Udoka, other than that, was a great coach, but that was wild to me, the way they chose to defend Steph. Just crazy.
bad.
We'll see what happens with the Bucks, man. Moving on, a team that's not far behind the Bucks. The Bucks have not lost. They have lost once. The Cleveland Cavaliers sit at 8-1, half a game behind the Bucks. I had them before the season in the second tier of these teams, not at the top, and I'm already about to adjust that based on what I've seen. Just defensively, Donovan Mitchell has added an entire new element to that team. Just a much needed scoring punch. Their offense has gone from like struggling to war. Like they're sixth in offensive efficiency, and I believe second in defensive efficiency for the season. Just an elite team on both ends. That game today against the Lakers, they slept walked through a half. We're down one. They turned the Jets on and just blew the Lakers out. It wasn't competitive. It was a 14-point game, and it wasn't that close in the second half. It just wasn't competitive.
Yep.
What do you the numbers you've seen just kind of say about the Cavs? Also, Cavs number one in net rating, most dominant team in the league thus far. 12, which is like it's dominant.
Yeah.
So,
By far
what's
the.
everything you're seeing or reading about the Cavs? What's everything telling you?
Yeah, they're definitely. You have, last week I had them in my top five. I had them, I think I two or three behind the Bucks. They're definitely moving up in that spot. Defensively, number two in the league, only behind the Bucks, 102.6 defensive rating. Offensively, 10th, 114.8. My only concern about the Cavs moving forward is that they do have a lot of guys that tend to not be able to stay healthy over the course of a season. We're talking about Darius Garland, Jared Allen, Curry,
Levert.
LeVert, Andy, so we're gonna have to see. This, like I said, this is a marathon. It's not a race. You know what I mean? And for a team like the Cavs, I think it's a lot different than a team like the Bucks, right? The Bucks, we know what they've done, right? We've seen them win a title. They know what they can do. For a team like the Cavs, it's a little bit different of a mindset for them. Aside from Kevin Love, nobody on that team has won anything, right? So if Kevin Love can like maintain, and he's a veteran, he's a locker room presence, right? If he can keep their composure throughout the course of the year and say, hey guys, there's a lot of season left. Like we can't get too high, we can't get too low, right? Because a lot of times with these young teams, we see them take the regular season, and they want to win 80, 81 games, 82 games, right? And then they get to the playoffs and it's like a whole different ball game. I think it's about building good habits. And at the same time, like you have to go through adversity at some point, and it's how you deal with adversity. Last year the Cavs didn't deal with adversity well with the injuries. They couldn't overcome them.
I thought that was tough. That experience you speak of, they would have gotten it last year if they didn't get hurt. So I think you're right. I think that's where those injuries will hurt. Like they didn't just get that dose of playoff action, so they can be this year. It's like, okay, now we're ready for it. Let's make a run. So I mentioned you have 100% have a great point about the different season in the playoffs, and I thought they should have got a test that last year. They lost to the Hawks in the play-in game, if I recall correctly. So, yeah, you're right. But I just what I see now, man, it's just they're just a bear. Those twin towers in the post, they got two guards that will dice you the entire game.
Yeah, I love Darius Garland,
My
bro.
only issue with the Cavs is I don't love them at the wing stop, not at the wings wing stop, at the wing spot. I
You
think they need
see
one.
where your mind's at right now.
Right. I actually thought Nick Ospin's okay at the wing spot. LeVert's a little undersized there. I think he's more of a two than a three. So I think they need a guy who can really just
Think they're really hoping that's
defend wings.
Okoro.
Yeah, but he's every Cav guy I talk to, he's not ready or not in or hit a wall in his development. So I think that would be the only thing missing from their roster. But you got those two big boys back there protecting the rim and erasing mistake after mistake. It may not be as big of an issue.
Yeah, I mean, when Mobley was coming out in 2020,
Go ahead, get your USC propaganda off. I know you. Go ahead, man.
well, I mean, I was aside from being a USC guy, like I was one of, I watch a ton of college
Right,
basketball,
yeah.
and I was telling people like, dude, Evan Mobley is the best player coming out. Like, I know Cade Cunningham is like a special talent, but Evan Mobley, he'll impact a game more than Cade Cunningham will because he can impact it at the rim on both sides of the floor. Plus, he can handle the basketball. He can pass the basketball. He can score the basketball. There's very few guys in this league that can do that, right? And one of those guys is Giannis. I'm not putting Evan Mobley on Giannis's level by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just saying that the potential can be there for this kid. Like, he's a special player, dude. 7 feet tall. He has a 7'2 wingspan. Very few guys in this world have his abilities, right? If he can stay healthy and stay right and continue to develop his offensive game, I mean, the sky's the limit for the Cavs, dude. This could be one of the best teams in the league.
I think they are one of the best teams in the league. I thought it even could be. I think they are one of the best teams. Like you said, health is going to be the biggest issue hurdle for them. And also, I just think the wing at some point will be an issue. But like I said, you got those two big boys behind you who can move. That is
But at the same time, Jason, like Evan hasn't even developed till what he came. Like that's how good the Cavs are now. Imagine if he takes the next step offensively, how much different this team looks.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he makes another leap. They become a championship, a serious championship threat. That's how I look at it.
Can you do that in this season, though? Do you think?
No, maybe not this season, but I think he'll definitely take more leaps offensively. I saw him like today against the Lakers. I saw him try to take a three. It didn't go in, but he looked comfortable.
I saw him try to take a
I mean,
three.
he looked comfortable shooting it. I think, which is maybe more important
Crazy
at
because he
this
shot
point,
40% from three at USC.
right? So he just got to extend out a little bit, but he didn't look like a fish out of water shooting it. It wasn't like, oh shit, it was like, oh, he's trying to take threes now.
Like when Gobert tried to shoot a three on Friday night against the Bucks.
It was like Mobley, he had 5 points and 7 rebounds today, and was awesome defensively. So it was like he just affected the game positively. You know what I mean? So.
I mean, right now that's they got him out there just playing defense because offensively he's not really giving them a ton. He has an 80% effective field goal percentage around the rim, but outside of that, he's shooting 37% from the mid-range, 30% from three. So he's not really effective offensively at this point. You know what I mean? But I again, like they're not really running plays for him. You know what I mean? Like,
Right, they got two guards who are high usage. That's where their bread and butter is going to come. Unfortunately, we have to discuss the purple and gold team in Los Angeles.
Cam's gonna be upset. He wanted us to talk a lot about the Cavs.
Man, a couple things with the Lakers. The Russ off the bench experiment is working well for Russ.
It is.
They've ran off got a Stole a couple wins. Unfortunately, the product as a whole does not look great. Lakers, not gonna say got blown out. That was a tie game at halftime, but they fell apart in the second half against the Cavaliers, knocking their record to 2-7, a half game out of the basement in the West. So Westbrook's playing better. But the Lakers just can't get anything done. I brought this to the table because I have an extremely hot take to present to you, a non-biased, non-Laker fan.
Okay,
I am of the mind that if this spiral continues,
trade LeBron.
To explore. No, they can't trade LeBron until the offseason. He just signed an extension, so he can't get traded to the offseason. But I do not think Westbrook is the one need to be traded. But with no capital and next year's pick, so this year's pick is already New Orleans has a swap. Next year, New Orleans can decide to take the 2024 first outright or the 25 outright. They have a choice to choose. I'm with no legitimate draft capital or path to it. I say you got to start shopping AD. I get the logistics of that with him being a clutch client, very close to LeBron, probably not realistic. But my thing is, why would you give up more future picks to make a trade that's only going to probably take you from, 14th place to possibly a play-in team? There is no point in that, in my opinion. So
my only pushback to you is, what do you think AD's real value on the market is?
That is an excellent question. I think everybody is aware of the back injury is clearly limiting them. That being said, he is having an incredible defensive season. If the Lakers were remotely competitive, he'd be right next to Giannis for early defensive player of the year consideration. But alas, they are not. So,
well, but what do you think his, like, what do you think he fetches on the market?
A couple picks, young player, definitely got the haul that New Orleans got for him. Obviously,
who do you think would trade for him?
I can see Chicago taking him home.
Chicago doesn't have a ton of draft capital, though.
They don't, right?
Yeah.
They took it from the Orlando trade, right? They don't. Yeah, I can see Chicago putting together a package, possibly bringing them home.
What about the Mavericks?
I was about to say the best fit is probably Dallas, but they don't have anything of value in terms of young players or or picks. Like, I mean, what's the Hardy? A decent prospect, not needle moving at this point. Some years away, just like the kid that drafted Christie, not going to move the needle. The Lakers will probably need a gang of picks to even consider that from Dallas. I'm talking about going like swaps and just picks for a while, because Dallas doesn't have anything of value. Do you think anybody would consider it?
What about the Kings? I mean, they have a deficiency at defense. Like, they cannot protect the rim at all. Maybe you throw Sabonis in there and a pick or two. Would you consider it if you're the Lakers?
I'd haggle. I'd haggle for Keegan Murray.
Nah, there's no way they're
drinking. I know. I said I'd haggle. It's like, it's AD. You can put him next to Sabonis. You got Fox in there. You know, I'd try to get, on a serious note, I'd try to get Davion Mitchell, Barnes, and a couple picks. You got defensive guard.
Yeah, dude. Because Davion Mitchell has not progress at all offensively.
Right. So he's a buy low guy. Harrison Barnes, that's a wing. The Lakers are sorely lacking in that department to start, at least a starting
for the Kings.
NBA quality, you mean? So yeah, I mean, that's a good spot, actually. I like that. That's not a bad spot at all, actually.
That's like the only two landing spots I could think of is like the Mavs and the Kings.
Well, the Mavs, I think they make sense because him and Luka is the ideal pairing. Mm-hmm. But there's no realistic avenue for a trade to happen. But I think the Kings at least have
the Hornets.
Again, do they have anything?
They have picks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're not going to be like, obviously with him and LaMelo, you're probably not going to be seeing lottery type picks, but maybe you throw in Beauchamp in there and, or I'm sorry, Beaumont and a couple picks. Maybe a PJ Washington.
Yeah, I mean, this is crazy. Like, when AD got traded for that Laker package, people were like, Is that even enough for a player like that? And look at what we're doing now. It's like, would the Kings
Well,
give up
because he's
King?
hurt, dude.
Would
He's
the
off.
Kings give up Keegan Murray for him?
Well, it's because he's often injured. If he wasn't always injured, it would be like, I mean, if we're talking on the flat surface, no injuries, I mean, you're talking a haul for AD, dude. Like, back, you know what I mean? Because you said it yourself, dude. He has a back injury and he's like playing the elite defense on the level of the Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think
I
the
think the
biggest
thing
problem.
with I think the thing with AD is offensively it's always going to be a chore because he isn't a creator.
Yeah,
You
I agree.
can't give him the ball and say get something for yourself or for somebody else because he isn't a great shooter. He isn't a great passer. This is going to sound offensive, but
I agree.
his best use offensively is like Rudy Gobert.
Screen and roll.
Screen, roll, dive. I
Up.
think if he gets a switch, he can score on a smaller guy. But I'm interested, very interested to see his PPP in post-ups when the first range of data is released from B-Ball Index. I can't wait to look at that information because that left post where he loves that little turnaround and fadeaway jumper, I think he's made like four.
So, all right, I have a hot take here as a college basketball guy. These big guys should not go play for guys like John Calipari, where all they do is protect the rim, dude. Right? Am I wrong though? I mean, look at Cat. Right? Like, you know, Cat, he had this game that we didn't even see in college that he like just came out of the wheel race with it in the NBA. It's like, where was this in college, dude? Like, where you're shooting threes? You got a mid-range game, you can't handle the ball? Like, and AD for he was a point guard in college or in high school.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can, but I think in 80s they won.
Yeah, I mean, but they won because he averaged like 7 blocks a game in college.
I mean, I use him as a rim protector and a lob and dive threat.
And they had Willie Cauley-Stein next to him too,
Yeah, they
so.
just had, yeah. I mean, Willie Cauley-Stein was with Cap, not
Oh, that's
AD.
right. That was with Cat. That
Yeah.
was with Cat. It
Yeah.
was Michael Kidd Gilchrist.
Yeah, man, that kid. Isn't Michael Kidd Gilchrist going to be in the second pick?
Yeah, dude. Now he's playing in the
Mm-hmm.
fucking CBA. Sorry, excuse my language.
Yeah, man, we keep trying to tell you Temple Hoop was for the kids, man.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I keep trying to
It's all good, man. Just,
take it.
moving on. Something. So when I was rusing the timeline earlier, I saw that Ty Lue said there's no timetable for Kawhi Leonard. His return. Are you concerned at this point? After you would think after an entire year off last year, he'd be not full go, but
Something.
at least trying to ramp up to on a minutes restriction. He's unable to play at this point. So, what are your thoughts on where Kawhi is right now? I remember you. I'm thinking back. My first thing is harping on the degenerative quad that the San Antonio that may be connected to the issue. I think the ACL tear just kind of compounded that. Where are you with Kawhi at this point?
Was about to say, I mean, at this point, is this degenerative knee issues? Like, is this going to be something that's going to force him to retire early? Because the fact that like he couldn't even travel with the team, he hasn't even been able to really play. They tried to bring him off the bench. He was only playing like 17, 20 minutes a game. I mean, this is getting nasty. This is definite cause for concern. I mean, I know we're only in November here, but the fact that like he can't even play after not even playing all of last year. If this
Yeah.
isn't a cause for concern, like, I don't know what is.
Yeah, and this the initial report, is that, he's pressing to play. The Clippers are saying they're taking a long road. So they're looking at him and
This is a
saying, "No, you're
reverse.
not re huh?"
This is like reverse from San Antonio.
Yeah, and that's I think that's what Trump's about. They're like their medical staff, I'm sure Ballmer spared no expense. They're looking at him and was like, "No, you're not ready to play NBA basketball right now." And then Lou comes out and says, "There's no timetable." Man, so I have the West tiers. I thought it was the Warriors, Clippers, and Nuggets. But if this is the Kawhi that we're gonna get, that knocks them down at least a couple tiers because they were a play-in team last year.
Yeah.
It's weird that team has like shooting, versatility. You got functional center in Zubac. That team is not missing anything. It's just the guy they all built it around just got dealt a terrible hand with injuries.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah.
So last year, even without Kawhi, they were like one of the best three-point shooting teams in the league.
Yeah.
This year, like, we're talking total opposite, dude. 26 in the league in effective field goal percentage from three-point. Do you think that there is an issue with this team, even if Kawhi doesn't play, like, where you're definitely seeing a different team this year? Or is it, like, something that is going to be fixable?
It's early. I think the shooting will normalize. Also, the main thing with the Clippers is they haven't had a guy who can put pressure on the rim a lot. They're hoping Wall can be that. I think the early returns have been mostly good on Wall. But who do they have on that roster that's going to consistently collapse a defense and kick to open shooters? Reggie Jackson has been terrible this season. Like, who else is, like, either going to draw doubles or put pressure on the rim to create for those guys?
You know who they could really use right now? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I think that's one of those things. If they don't win a championship, they'll look back and say, was this worth doing it all for PG? And to be fair, Kawhi wasn't coming without PG, so you traded for Kawhi too.
Yeah.
Because Kawhi legitimately said, I'm coming, but if you don't get Kawhi, I'm not going to come.
Yeah.
So you traded it for Kawhi and PG, but if you don't win, you know, Shai looks like a franchise guard right now. I'm very interested to see how he plays with Chet next year. I think that's going to be a really good team.
I cannot wait, dude. Shai, yeah. Josh Giddey, Chet Holmgren, and Victor Wembanyama. Oh, my God.
Are they going to be that bad? Or
they're going to try.
I know.
I guarantee they're going to try. I mean, they have like a million picks, dude.
Yeah. There's no way they're going to draft all those guys. I wonder what they do, what their play is. There's no way you can draft 17 first-round picks in four or five years. No way you draft that many four guys.
There's no way, especially because, like, A, you don't have enough roster spots, and B, like, you can't pay all those guys, right? So you have, at least at some point, have to trade somebody or trade a few people.
Right.
So Jason, I was honestly shocked that they, like, signed Lu Dort to a contract extension, because I thought that was, like, a guy that they could use to, like, trade for an established, like, type of veteran. Because Lu Dort is a great 3-and-D player, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you attach some picks with him and get something established back. Who knows? But
right.
Thunder are going to be really good, dude.
Yeah, they, you know.
That's my team, though. That's my second team I watch the most.
Nice. I got Poku in fantasy. I need him to step it up.
He doesn't have, like, a defined role, dude. And that's his issue.
That's fair. Last, but I gotta spring this on you. It's been a talking point. The whole thing about the Golden State Warriors has been about their two timelines.
Yeah,
old guard won all the championships. A new guard, they let a bunch of their key role players go to push these guys through. They've all struggled. The only positive guy has been Moody. I know Wiseman, the game's just entirely too fast for him right now. Kuminga has some intangible stuff they want him to work on as far as work ethic, mental stuff, body language. They want him to tighten up before they depend on him. The Warriors have the best – their starting five has the best net rating in basketball, and they have the worst bench in the NBA. They've lost. They're sitting at right now, they're 3-7. Probably six of those losses are because of the bench just being absolutely awful when they go to them.
At the same time, like, their starters sat, and, like, they're really competitive against the Pelicans.
Yeah, that's the thing. So Warriors fans are pissed really about the Kuminga thing, because Kuminga has the most physical talent of all their young guys, and they got Ty Jerome, a two-way guy, playing over him at this point because Terrence Kerr and the inner organization are trying to teach him a lesson. Meanwhile, the losses are stacking up. So what is your analysis of this situation? The young guys haven't developed as the Warriors, the Warriors have liked them to. They're playing an insane cap number. I believe Wiseman is up for extension.
Yeah.
And then the year after that goes right to Moody and Kuminga. So, and then on top of that, Draymond, if he opts in or out, that's an issue. And then Klay is up also again after next year.
Klay's so, washed. He's pretty washed at this point. He's definitely not the same guy that he was defensively at all.
I think that's the main thing. But yeah. But all that being said, they have the best starting lineup in basketball.
Not as their net rating, they're not as good as the Bucks starting lineup, and the Bucks starting lineup doesn't even have Chris Middleton yet.
Okay, but you know what I mean. It's elite.
It is.
Even with that, even with you, so.
Well, this is the thing, dude. And you understand this, of all people. Like, at the end of the day, I think people often forget that this is a business, right?
Yeah.
And you have a bunch of first-round picks, and people have to understand, because people are like, oh, well, they're going to draft young guys, and they'll develop, and they'll be happy winning the ring. No, dude, at the end of the day, like, they're playing for their second contract. That's their life. That's their livelihood. You know what I mean? That second contract is your biggest contract you're probably going to sign in your career. Very few people get to a third contract in the NBA. I mean, we're talking, like, less than 5% of people that get into the NBA get a third contract, right? Mm. So you're playing for that second contract. You know, Jordan Poole got that contract. We've seen him regress this year, right? And I don't know if it's him wanting to – him coming off the bench. I don't know if it's him being comfortable. Like, I'm not in this locker. I don't know the dynamic. But right. What I can say is that you got guys like Kuminga who are a top 10 draft pick, top 7 draft pick, playing for a second contract, and the guy's not even getting minutes. I guarantee you his agent is calling the Warriors every single day saying either trade him or play him. You have two options. I don't care what you think of him. He's a top 7 pick. He either needs a play or he needs to be traded. Same thing with Wiseman. You know what I mean? Like, this is a business at the end of the day. And I think people often forget that.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. I think they're happy with Moody. Moody's a pot. He's just knows how to play. Muscleman guy. He's going to play the right way. Wiseman, just the lack. You can see the lack of experience. Yep. It's just moving way too fast for him. Kuminga gets really, really shot happy.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think that's the main thing they have. They want him to play more within the system. And then, like you said, man, that second contract, you know what I mean? That's your big one. My thing with Poole, like I said, we don't know the dynamics, but knowing his talent level and how good he was last year for that team, being the only other shot creator outside of Steph, I wonder if that like, not being funny, that punch, man, is that something lingering? You got to come and work with that every day. I know you got some professionals, but I think is that out of the realm of possibility?
Yeah, you got fucking. I'm sorry, he got like clowned on in front of his whole team, basically.
The video leaking changed everything.
Yeah, and now the whole world saw it, right? But I think on top of that, too, is the fact that, like, he gets this money, right? And he's still coming off the bench. And, like, he's a young guy, you know? Like, we've all been there, you know? Me and you are both younger in our lives, right? Ego plays a part of basketball, especially, you know? Especially basketball. One-on-one is a big part of basketball. Like, I'm better than you.
Right.
I don't care what you can do 5-on-5. I'm better than you. I'll beat you 1-on-1. And I feel like Jordan Poole feels that way about Klay Thompson. Do you remember last year in the playoffs when Jordan Poole was like dribbling around during against the Memphis and Klay Thompson's wide open? He's like sitting there like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm in here. Right. You remember that?
I remember that video. I remember that somebody posted the full video. He ended up passing to him and getting assist later in the possession. So, but yeah, I remember that video.
But I think he. Like, and again, I'm saying, like, I'm just throwing this out there. Like, I'm not saying this is fact or anything. I'm just throwing it out there. Is there a part of Jordan Poole where he's like, I'm better than Klay Thompson at this point? Why is he starting over me? Like, I don't care who he was. This is who he is, and I'm better than who he is now.
Yeah, I think maybe subconsciously. I don't think it's been expressed.
Yeah.
Because, well, like, you know, like, even like you heard, like, I saw Klay was on all the smoke. He spoke very highly of Jordan Poole. You know what I mean? So they obviously like each other. I think what happens is, you know, winning cures all.
Yeah.
You hit a rough patch like they are, that's when you start questioning things.
Yep.
But we'll see. Like I'm still sticking with my Warriors pick to come out the West.
Crazy.
I'm
You're
still
crazy.
sticking with it.
Taking the Lakers.
Denver's making me nervous. What'd you say?
Taking the Lakers.
To come out the West?
Yeah. No,
Are you serious?
no, I'm joking. I'm
Oh,
joking.
I couldn't tell by your face. I was like, all right, man, go ahead. They're closer to giving the Pelicans Vic than they are doing that. But yeah, I'm sticking
I'm
with them.
honestly concerned about the West, dude. It's a I don't know who's the best team, to be honest.
Is that even like a safe gamble right now, the West? Yeah, I'm saying it's not. I bet it's a gamble. You stay away from that right now until you see something. I know you told me before we started recording, you don't really believe in Phoenix right now. They're just like
And they're the
benefiting from
best.
the
They're the
continuity.
they have the best favorite. They're the highest favorite to win the well, they're the highest favorite to win the title in the West outside them and Phoenix and the Clippers are basically 1-1. So the market still loves the Clippers, regardless of the Kawhi news and stuff.
Wow.
And they love Phoenix. And then Golden State's right there too. They're all like them three. And then Memphis is fourth plus 1400.
That's my dark horse.
Memphis
Yeah.
to come out? Yes.
It's early, but they got enough playoff experience. They're gonna add Jared Jackson. They're playing really well, even without I think Ja missed a couple games.
Think the Pelicans plus 4,000, 40-1 odds to win the West or to win the title.
That is, but like you said, they just can they keep 14 and one on the floor together?
That's the big question mark.
Right.
But at this point, can the Warriors even like fix what is broken? I don't know if they can with
Well, I guess
Buster.
this morning, Kerr in an interview was talking about they're changing the entire rotation, and Wise
Oh.
and Kuminga is going to be a bigger part. What
Oh.
they do, my guess is because the rumblings are the older players aren't happy with the younger players' production. I think Draymond finally said something about, it's their fault we're losing. That's paraphrasing what he
Yeah.
said. It's not, it wasn't as cut and dry as that. It was very paraphrasing.
You heard
That
some.
everybody, he said everybody needs to take onus and the young players aren't playing well, or something to that effect. My bet is they probably ship one of those guys off for a vet.
You think they shipped all three?
No, not all three. They'd like that. That's like, it's that, those, that. Two timeline thing is like the pet project.
So what does a trade look like in your opinion then?
Oh, that's a great question. That's a great
What kind
question.
of vet are we talking about that they're getting? Like, are they getting Otto Porter Jr. back from Toronto
Somebody
for
like that. No, somebody like that too. Like somebody like that though. Just a wing who's been around, can defend, shoot,
But does a
shot,
team
get.
want to get rid of those guys though?
I mean, I could see them like, getting Harrison Barnes back.
But he's making what 27, 25 million?
Oh yeah, he got that extension, huh? 4-100. Yeah. See, yeah. That's a good point.
So I think they would have to match salary there. That's why that's a difficult thing.
You max salary, you end up talking about moving probably two of those guys.
Yeah.
So yeah. Whew. I think
Maybe
they're gonna wait till like.
they trade Draymond to the Lakers.
They're not trading Draymond because without him, their defense goes from top three in the league to worst. Just him off the floor.
Well, I mean, right now, Jason, their defensive rating is 29th in the league, 118.4. So I'm not.
Yeah, when Draymond's on, it's top. It's like it's top 10 when Draymond's on.
But he can't play all
That's the
game.
point. That's why they are not trading him. That's like outside of Steph. I'm like Draymond's the guy. I'm sure they're not trading.
But what's a legitimate trade that you could make? Like, maybe Lu Dort?
Well, you know what? I'm going to spend the week researching this, and then
Okay.
we'll come back for your
All right.
next episode. I'll bring it up.
Fair enough.
Make sure you follow Jordan on Twitter. Jordan, give us all your stuff, the podcast, Twitter, all that. Let him know right now, man. Plug, plug, plug.
Yep. At Jordan Rules TSP on Twitter. You can follow Taproom Sports Podcast on Instagram at Taproom Sports Podcast. You can follow me on TikTok at Jordan Rules TSP. I'll be posting my best bets every day on TikTok. So
You got a TikTok? Oh my God. I'm fighting it. I'm not getting no TikTok. I'm fighting the machine.
I'm
But I feel
getting
you
on
though.
it, dude. I got someone talked me into it. Now I'm getting on it. You can just go to www.taproomsportspodcast.com. You can follow all of our stuff. Yeah, college basketball coming up. This is where I honestly do my best work. So I got two best bets for you tomorrow, Jason, in college basketball, if you want me to put them out.
Go ahead. Let's hear it.
I got Memphis and Vanderbilt under 40 and a half. I love what Penny Hardaway did last year at the end of the year. I thought he really ramped up the defense. Obviously, they lose Jalen Duren. They lose Imani Bates, who didn't really play a ton. But they return a lot of guys, and they were really defensive oriented. And Vanderbilt loses their best player in Scottie Pippen Jr. So I expect this to be a low scoring game. Plus, both teams got to get acclimated to scoring, right? So give me the under 140 and a half. And I also love Weber State versus Washington under 143 and a half. Mike Hopkins, head coach of Washington, he comes from Jim Boeheim's tree, the 2-3 zone. Washington, if you remember, Matisse Thybulle came from there. They love to not score the basketball, and they love to hold opponents. They're one of the best defensive teams in the country year in and year
Love
out.
to not score the basketball.
That's what they do. They don't score the basketball very well. And obviously, Weber State, they're one of the worst offensive teams in the country. They're one of the lower Division I programs. So love the under 143 and a half here. I just don't think there's going to be a ton of scoring.
There y'all go. Free game.
Free game.
Lock that in. Get some money. Temple of Hoop needs 7% of all winnings. You guys be safe. Jordan's back for one more week. Next week, we are out of here. You guys be safe. Word. Word.